The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side. This week, issue number 78, John and I talk Deadpool. That little-known movie from 2016. Might have heard of it. We get into the history of the movie, where it started. We talk Ryan Reynolds. We talk Marina Baccarin. We talk a little TJ Miller, Ed Skrein. Oh, and that great Canadian actor, Hugh Jackman. And we get into a little argument, too. Would you like to direct Deadpool 2? This week started off a little rough. We weren't very bright, but we had a blast. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys are staying safe out there. For now, let's head into the store and have some fun. Touch my cheek before you leave me, John. That's all I ask.
Gotta love the juice.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you ask yourself, though?
You're talking Juice Newton, right? Not OJ, the football player?
Yeah. Yeah, Juice Newton. But did you ask yourself?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Okay. Did you know what you're supposed to ask yourself?
Well, what was I supposed to ask myself?
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Look at that. We're getting...
I was trying to set that up, and you almost...
I didn't know where you were going, because I was already... I have my OJ joke going. So I wasn't thinking along your lines. We weren't...
We weren't synced up.
At least we have the lovely song still playing.
That's what happens when you don't prepare.
So I guess the cat's out of the bag. Everybody knows the big surprise. Now that it's in the title, too.
Yeah. I don't know why we went that route this week, but...
I don't know. Something different. Trying to break it up. Did everybody listen? Were you like, seething with anticipation? Like, oh, my God.
On the edge of their seat.
What's Brightside going to do for me on Monday morning?
I can imagine all the quarantine conversations happening.
Oh.
You know... since last Wednesday.
Yeah, well, Thursday
for
them. The
debate that must have raged about what we were going to talk about on Monday.
People, anticipation. It must have been brutal. So I hope it got you
it's
through
like
the
Heinz
weekend.
Heinz ketchup.
Huh?
It's like Heinz ketchup.
Yep. Yeah.
The anticipation is making them wait. Let's see how many other obscure references we can throw into the beginning of this show.
I don't know. All right, so you want to get right to it?
Sure.
You don't have any exciting news breaking or anything, do you?
No, I do not.
Alrighty. Alright, let's play this trailer. We'll get right to it. Let's get back into some Deadpool.
Alright.
I love you, Wade Wilson. We can fight this.
You're right. The cancer's only my liver, lungs, prostate, and brain. All things I can live without.
What if I told you we can make you better? You're a fighter, We can give you abilities most men only dream of. Make you a superhero.
You just promise you'll do right by me, so I can do right by someone else.
And please don't make the super suit green or animated.
One thing that never survives this place is a sense of humor.
We'll see about that, Posh Spice.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot, baby.
Packed in your stack, especially in the back. Brother, I wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. Your shotgun bang. What's that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang?
Wait! You may be wondering why the red suit. Well, that's so bad guys can't see me bleed. This guy's got the right idea. He wore the brown pants. Hear the music.
Let's go, give it to you. Ah! Wait for you to get it.
What the?
Let's go, deliver to you. Red with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break, red with a black enemy.
Reeks like old lady pants in here.
Why such a douche this morning?
Oh, God, you are hard to look at. You look like the topographical map of Utah.
Exactly. I am very turned on right now.
Let's go give it to you. He gon' give it to you.
You are haunting.
You look like an avocado had sex with an older avocado.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's usually longer than I like to let the trailers run, but the music's so good.
Yeah.
I was like, we're just listening to it. I'm like, I think even the listeners would be like, no, don't edit this out. This is a good tune.
Right.
And the music through the movie is really good like that too, but. Obviously.
And we don't really have a lot to say, so we need the extra right. 2 minutes yeah, of the trailer to stretch this out.
Well, the other thing is everybody's seen this movie, and
right.
listening to that over, it's like, I know it, for me, it made me like, oh, I want to watch it again, and I've already watched it. There was that one point during the trailer, I was like, did I click the right thing here, or is this just the movie? Because right. there was so much information.
Well, it was like, oh, Iron Man. When we talked about Iron Man a couple weeks ago, yeah, that trailer too was like the whole first 5 minutes of the movie.
Right. Yeah, I actually shaved a little off of that when I did the trailer, though, but because there's some parts where the music's just like sound effects, and it's all right. because it's all meant for what you see on the screen, and in a podcast that doesn't work, so I kind of try to chop that out. But all right, so what did you think of Deadpool? You want to go spoiler free or? No.
No.
I love that joke.
I know you do. Because we get it every week.
I know, because it irritates you when I make you go spoiler free.
yeah. That does. You're right.
That's good. That does. You're right. All right. Let's get into it.
All right.
What'd you think about this when it came out? Or actually, let's go back to before it came out.
Okay.
Did you want a Deadpool film?
Well, I mean, as much as I wanted anything that I didn't know was coming, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like I wasn't anxiously waiting for a Deadpool film, but once it was announced, I mean, I was looking forward to it the whole time. Like, you know, it's always that you don't know what you want until
right.
you want it kind of thing, so... like even now, like I'm not sitting here thinking about every superhero movie that I would like to see them make, but when I hear that something's in development, then I react, you know, appropriately to the property. So,
right.
And then, you know, obviously, you know, this was a troubled production, or not maybe troubled, but like rumored on again, off again. Like this was definitely Ryan Reynolds' pet project for years before it came out. And,
right.
And, you know, so there was always the rumor of it happening, but, you know, until it was officially announced, I don't think I was, like, really anticipating it. But once it was announced, like I said, and I knew that he was going to be attached to it, I was definitely looking forward to it.
So do you know how far back this, like you said, this is a, it's been a long time coming for this movie when it finally came out in 2016. So do you know how far back it goes?
Well, I would say what's the day after the X-Men movie came out or the Wolverine movie came out?
It goes back further than that. Yeah, X-Men Origins,
yeah.
Wolverine. That was 09. Okay, that came out in
09. Definitely goes back that far.
Right. Well, it goes back all the way to Blade Trinity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he and Ryan Reynolds had no idea who Deadpool was when he made Blade Trinity.
Okay.
And I forget who it was that approached him, but after Blade Trinity, they came to him and said, you need to read, and they gave him like all the comic books and said, you're Deadpool. And this is all in the audio commentary.
Okay.
So there's an audio commentary on the Deadpool Blu-ray of Ryan Reynolds and the two writers. You've got the time. I highly, it's awesome. Because Ryan Reynolds is awesome anyways, just to listen to. But there's a lot of good information in there. I listened to both of them. There's also a commentary with Rob Liefeld and the director, Tim Murray.
Tim Miller.
Miller.
Yeah, Tim Miller.
So
I'm not a Rob Liefeld fan in general, but
you should hear him in the audio commentary, though, because I listened to that because I wanted to hear what he had, what he thought about the movie and like the origin of it and all of that. But he didn't go into that. He sounded more like a fanboy, and it was actually pretty cool because it, like the way he talked and everything, he was like, they'd show scenes and he'd interrupt Tim Miller and be like, he'd be like, oh, this scene right here is so cool. This is so cool. I love what you did right here. This is so cool. And it's a lot of fun to listen to, but he does get into some backstory. He'll point out stuff in the background that's from the comic books that you might not even know that are there. And you'd be like, oh, you got that in there. And it's really, really cool. But
yeah, well, like you said, I've got time on my hands. So.
Yeah. And the Ryan Reynolds one is really good. Really good. And you get a lot of backstory stuff. I'll probably get into a couple of them here and there as we go along. But yeah, so this goes back to Blade Trinity and what Ryan Reynolds said. He goes, think what you will about that movie, but it's what started the whole Deadpool thing.
Which, Blade Trinity or the X-Men origin?
Blade Trinity started the whole Deadpool idea.
Okay.
Because somebody...
Well, I mean, I liked Blade Trinity, so that's why when you said, think what you want about that movie...
No, that's what Ryan Reynolds said.
Most people liked it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But that's what Ryan Reynolds said. He goes, think what you want about the movie, but it started the whole Deadpool idea. Because before that movie, he had no idea about Deadpool. And somebody approached him and said, you know, you should play Deadpool. And he goes, who's that? And they gave him all the comics, and he fell in love with the character, and that's ever since it's just been like, okay, he's been trying to get it made.
That's cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. I knew it went back at least as far as, like I said, X-Men Origins, because, you know, if there's a way to mishandle a character worse,
right.
I don't know it. you know, that character was Deadpool in name only. I mean, how do you have a Deadpool... that can't speak.
Like, did they? The essence of
that character,
right,
is his mouth more than anything else,
right?
And you make a Deadpool with his mouth sewn shut, or not even have a mouth on his face or whatever it is.
So,
it's like,
did they even?
I don't know if it was even ever called Deadpool in that movie. I'd have to go back and watch X-Men Origins, which I'm not prone to do, but.
No, wasn't he called Weapon X? Was he Weapon X in that?
Yeah, I don't remember. Like I said, I am not inclined to go back and watch that. Maybe we'll make that a show just so I have to watch it.
I kind of am.
Oh, okay.
Now? No, I liked it. I like everything. You know that. I think we all were like, that's Deadpool. I don't know if they actually said it in the movie, but
I don't remember if they did either. But right, it was always assumed by everybody that was Deadpool. But yeah, clearly a mishandling of the character.
Yeah, because he even references it in this movie when he's like that scene when he's in the
he thing brought it up.
Say,
I don't remember
sew
what
your
he
mouth
said.
Shut, and he
That's
goes,
right, yeah.
"I wouldn't do that."
Yeah. Yeah, well, and there was a couple of references, obviously references to Green Lantern as well, which was you know, pretty funny. And it, really, everything in pop culture, you know, this movie references a lot. So,
yeah, most of the things he does, he says in this movie are like him, like, crapping on his own movies. Like when right. he references his own stuff. Or he's yeah. complimenting Hugh Jackman.
Right.
throughout the movie. Which, yeah. in the opening sequence, when they play, you know, they have the titles and everything, and it says, like, nobody's name. But right, the, you right. see that all... one that says, in a gratuitous cameo or whatever it's called. Right. I thought it was going to be, the first time I saw this movie, I thought it was going to be Hugh Jackman.
Right.
I think that is who it's supposed to be, right? It's the mask and everything. It's is that the, because who else is the gratuitous cameo?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. It would have to be the mask, the Hugh Jackman mask.
Yeah, the reference at the end with the mask on yeah. his face. That's another one in the commentary. He's like, that was a fun phone call to make. He's like, I had to call him and tell him that we're going to use it. Do you mind if I staple your face on top of my face?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, the two of them are great anyways. I mean, you know, anybody that follows anything at all on social media knows that they go back and forth with each other all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But
I don't know what the origin of that is, though. Do you?
Well, I don't either. Like, I don't know if it started with this movie or if it went back even before that. I don't remember seeing it that much prior to Deadpool coming out.
Yeah.
So maybe this movie is actually what kind of started it. But like you said, he had to call him, so they must have had a relationship prior to that. You know,
that's what I was thinking, because
I can't think of anything. Like, they've never done anything together, so I don't know.
You know, I don't think so. I can't think of it.
Yeah.
But he does say, like, obviously at the different scenes, he'll comment on Hugh Jackman, like when he's sitting on the bridge and in the commentary, he talks about that a little bit. He busts on Hugh Jackman a little bit in the commentary. But then at the very, not the very end, but towards the end of the movie, Ryan Reynolds says, he's like, there's a huge debt of gratitude owed to Hugh Jackman for this movie. Because the studio didn't want to do it. And he said Hugh Jackman being Wolverine and he had a huge pull with the studio, and he promoted this.
Really?
So they must have had a relationship.
Right. What's
before
the origin
that? Otherwise,
prior,
why
right.
would he do that? You know what I mean? It's like, well, oh no, they did work passion. Together though. They did work together.
Oh,
duh.
Oh yeah, obviously. Duh. Yeah. They worked X-Men together Origins. In that movie. Yeah. That we right. just, both, so we talked about it three times, and then we're like, I don't know if they ever worked together or not. And
man,
just goes to show how bright we are.
exactly.
Once again, not referring to the title of the show. Exactly.
Maybe,
you know, Hugh Jackman was also let down by how the character was portrayed in that movie.
True.
And
right.
wanted to see a better version of it. So. But yeah, they probably struck a relationship together working on that movie, and then just stayed in touch as friends over the years, I would imagine.
Yeah. Is Hugh Jackman Canadian?
I think he is, actually, but I don't quote me because I'm not positive. But I think he is.
Australian. Duh. We are so stupid today.
Cut that out. Cause, like, we really are dumb. Because now that you said that, it's like, of course I know he's Australian. It's like, why are we?
I can't cut that out. It's too stupid.
People are screaming at their, you know, whatever they're listening to this on right now. Listening to two jackholes talking about whether he's Canadian or.
God.
I think Sean Connery's Canadian too.
Oh my God.
Let's find some more iconically
not Canadian.
Yeah, no, Sophia Loren might be Canadian.
Jesus. Oh God. Oh, anything else we could screw up today?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh well, my God.
Give me time, it's early.
It's yeah. Oh my God, how stupid.
That's the problem. We're not recording in our normal time. We get smarter after dark, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like when the sun goes down, our intelligence goes up.
Apparently. Oh man. That's a bad one. Because all I did was I just typed it into the Google machine, and it was like, Hugh Jackman. And the first thing it says, Australian actor. I was like, oh, my God. it's my fault. I'm the one that asked. So
I know, I just went
right,
with you. I was like,
exactly.
Yeah,
and you go,
yeah,
I
you
don't
must
think,
be Canadian.
I don't know, maybe. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Let's, you want to start this over?
Yeah, no, that was
like, hey,
it's better than anything we're going to say about the movie. So.
Oh, God. No. All right. Let me ask you this, though. Were you a Deadpool fan before, like, the movie? Because I wasn't.
I wasn't either.
Deadpool came along after me in comics. It came like what it started in like early 90s.
Yeah, me too.
92.
I was kind of getting out of comics at that time for a while. Like I said, I was out of comics for almost 20 years, and that was around that time frame when that happened. And so, yeah, I wasn't a Deadpool fan at all. And honestly, I'm not a huge Deadpool fan now. Like, I love the movies, but it doesn't always come through in the comics. You know, I like the Spider-Man Deadpool comic a lot because I liked the interactions with them. But Deadpool's ongoing monthly comic, I read it and it's not like I dislike it, but I wouldn't consider myself a giant fan. Like, I don't go crazy about reading it every month or anything. That's one of the rare cases where I'm much more enthusiastic about the movie character than I am about the comic.
Which I think a lot of that has to do with Ryan Reynolds.
It does, yes.
You know, I mean, he's, like I said earlier in Blade Trinity, that was his, he's basically the same character. And when I heard him say that, I want to go back and watch Blade Trinity because.
Yeah, because I haven't watched that in a long time either. But
that's one of my favorite of the Blade movies because of Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
He's so funny.
And Jessica Biel, let's be fair.
Well, that is fair.
Know, that goes without saying.
Yeah,
but and we said it anyway.
Yeah. Now I'm way off track, which is probably a good thing the way this thing is going so far.
Yes.
What was I saying? See, look at what you've done. but yeah, so Ryan, that's what I was saying. Ryan Reynolds, he basically embodied the character, but I don't know if the character was as well known before Ryan Reynolds. So this had to be a big boost to comic sales. And you didn't have your store then when this came out, did you?
What year?
16.
Yes, I did. I was trying to think. Yes, this actually opened shortly. This was a February movie, right?
Yeah. So Valentine's Day.
I remember this specifically now because I opened in the September prior to this. And,
okay. So you've been open for like 5 months or so.
Yeah, and so I opened in September, you know, just like any new business, to a slow start, right? But then in December, Force Awakens happened.
Yes.
Right? So that was a huge boost to me for my business. And I remember it carried, like, right until...
You're also in a plaza with a movie theater, too.
Yes, yes. Right? Right. But, like, I remember that the kind of like when Star Wars started to die down, because I rode that wave for a while, because that movie did well in the theaters for, you know, for quite a while. And then Deadpool came in, and it kind of like carried me through my first 6 months or so of being open, those movies. And Deadpool was a huge draw for me because that movie did so well, and people just came in looking for Deadpool stuff everywhere after they saw that movie. Because like you said, I think a lot of Deadpool fans were made by this movie.
Yeah.
More so than a lot of other characters that, you know, were kind of established well before they hit the movies. And then, yeah, just to kind of go back to what you were saying about Ryan Reynolds embodying this character, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like we've seen, I don't know, 5 different Batmans already over the years, but we've only ever seen really one Iron Man and one Captain America, and what, like, to me, this is the same. Like, he embodies Deadpool just the same way as Chris Evans does Captain America. Like, we can't imagine anybody else being Deadpool or Captain America or Iron Man. But, like, we can get a new Batman every couple of years, and we don't really think anything of it. And
we
I
get
think
it so much that they have to say, "I am Batman."
Right.
Just to distinguish. Okay, you're it now? It's like,
but he's like so tied to the character that you just can't imagine anybody else playing the character. And at some point it will happen. Like Deadpool will continue in movies long after Ryan Reynolds. Just
see,
like
I don't
Wolverine.
Think it will.
I think it will. Because Wolverine will go on. We'll get another Wolverine.
But I think Wolverine's a bigger character. You know what I mean? Like Wolverine was a big character before the movies.
He was.
You know, I think, like, everything you – remember we said during – when we did Iron Man, it's like Robert Downey Jr. was Tony Stark before right. – the personality, I mean. He wasn't a billionaire like Tony Stark, but, I mean, he was
but
acting –
he is now.
Right, yeah, pretty much. The way he acted in that movie was the way he acted in real life. Like, you could – the way he portrays himself, right? Right. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, meaning like that's the way he acts all the time. You see it yes. on social media. You see it in his other movies. It's that sarcasm, that merc with the mouth type personality that he just has, whether he's in a movie or not. And that's right. why I think like, you know, 10 years from now when they're done or 20 years from now, because they're going to make another one. I'm sure he may even show up in the MCU, they're saying. 20 years from now when they go to reboot this. To do it justice, you would have to find somebody that had the same personality as a Ryan Reynolds. Otherwise, you'd be like, well, you'd always compare that to Ryan Reynolds.
Well, but how is that different? Like, if we get Iron Man again, you're looking for somebody that is exactly the same as Robert Downey Jr. Because, right. again, he embodied that character so much. So you either, well, I don't, like, so you either go that route or you go the total opposite route and you try to find somebody that's so different from those people.
Right.
And then I don't know if you're going to get the same type of character.
Yeah.
You know?
You wouldn't. I don't know. And it's like, I think.
Because there's no other version of Deadpool out there.
Right.
It's not like in the comic. Because again, going back to Batman, you have the Dark Knight Detective version. And then you have like the.
Right.
You know, go out and kick your butt. But like, there's kind of different sides to Batman or, you know, different ways to portray him. But there's only one version of Deadpool. Like, there's no other way to play him except for the way we see him now. Like, I don't know what the opposite would be of Ryan Reynolds.
Right. I also think that you could live without making another Deadpool. Have it. You don't need to go on from here. You know what I mean? Like, Iron Man's part of a larger universe. Do they right. incorporate him in? Do we need 20 years from now? Do they need to reboot it? I don't know.
I don't know. Did like, we need Fuller House? Like,
no.
It's just like, but what I'm saying, they reboot
just
everything.
Your own question.
But it's going to get rebooted, regardless of whether it needs to be or not, because it's a money maker. Like they'll always make money on it, on the character. I think it comes back eventually. You know, like you're right. It might need a cooling off period because you have to have a palate cleanser. You know, you have to
right.
have time for Ryan Reynolds to slip away from the character. That's why I'm not sure that we're going to see Wolverine anytime soon in the MCU.
Right.
Because they need to distance themselves from Hugh Jackman, I think. You know, we're probably not going to see another Iron Man or Captain America unless they go a completely different route. Like you said, we're going to see the Sam Wilson Captain America. We might see like the Riri Williams Ironheart or what have you, but
right.
I think they're going to stay away from these characters for a little while to give people time to distance from, you know, the Robert right. Downey Jr.'s and all that stuff.
See, my thing though is, so go back to when they cast Hugh Jackman, there were question marks. Oh, he's too big. Oh, he's this. Oh, no, he can't be Wolverine. He's, you know, that doesn't work. And of course it does. He owns it and everybody. Now you can't imagine him not being that. But if they brought somebody back that was dead on to the comic book, you could embrace that. The problem here with Deadpool is they nailed it. And it right. before this movie, it wasn't that we wanted to see Deadpool. Before this movie, what drove this movie, in my opinion, is we wanted to see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. We wanted to see Ryan Reynolds as a good Deadpool, not the one that we got in X-Men Origins.
Right.
You know, so the fact that X-Men Origins had come out, that was actually a teaser that kind of probably worked in the favor of this movie, because it was you were like, that's not it. We need to do it right. And it got everybody's like taste buds ready for it. And you were like, all right, now I want a good Deadpool. And maybe you didn't even know what Deadpool was at the time, but you found out. Right. And I knew who Deadpool was.
Well, right.
I knew he was a merc with a mouth. I knew that whole idea of it. What I did like about him, what little I knew, was he was an adult version of Spider-Man, that quippy talking back and everything.
Right.
But like I said, I was out of comics. What I knew about it was people were telling me that I'd like it. Then this comes out, or Origins happens, and you find out a little bit more, because you're like, well, I want to know why that isn't right, or what is right. And then by the time the movie comes out, you know, in 16, like you said, everybody's jumping in on it.
Well, right, because that character in X-Men Origins was not inherently bad. It just wasn't Deadpool.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? If it was any other villain or character, even just no name, somebody they made up.
Well,
for the
he was
movie,
Wade Wilson, and that was the only thing.
Right.
And you were like, that? And then that at the end of the movie is like, that's supposed to be Deadpool? So they never called him Deadpool, but you're like, what? How
did you
know
it
happen?
Was Wade Wilson? But right. Like I said, the character itself was not inherently bad. It just wasn't Deadpool. So if you were connecting it with anything else, he would have been a fine villain.
Right.
You know? I mean, the character was cool. He actually looked cool. You know, I mean, there was nothing really wrong with it. It was only the fact that we knew that wasn't Deadpool.
Right.
You know.
What did you think of the casting?
Outside of Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, none of the characters that I know of were comic book. Like, I don't think any of the other characters were comic book characters. So it's not like we were trying to portray anybody specifically. But I liked them all. Like, Ed Skrein? Skrein?
Yep.
I don't know how
he's from the comic.
Yeah. Okay.
Ajax? Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I say that. I mean, obviously Colossus is from the comic. I'm thinking of like Vanessa and the bartender guy or whatever. Like those are they were just made up for the movie as far as I know. But I mean, I like Marina Baccarin quite a bit. So I didn't have any problem with her casting. Who's the guy that plays the bartender?
TJ Miller.
TJ Miller. Now,
yeah, as Weasel.
I don't like him personally, because I've heard a lot of really negative things about him.
Yeah.
But his character in the movie was funny. Like, he was fine.
He's TJ Miller on screen is a riot.
And, right. But I've heard that behind the scenes, he's really a.
Well, he's part of that whole. Yeah. He's been reported as part of that hashtag MeToo movement.
Right.
Which was funny listening to the commentary, and they rave about him, and Ryan Reynolds is like, he's such a great guy. He's like, you know, he's talking
all
about him.
Well, this was way before anything came out. Yeah.
And you know, just listening to it, it kind of makes you cringe, and you're like, oh, he's probably distancing himself now. But, one of the things they said is one of the things about TJ Miller is he loves to, he can, you know, ad lib like crazy. And he just goes off on these.
Well, because I imagine that whole avocado thing was probably ad-libbed.
But Ryan Reynolds is good at that, too.
Right.
And it's funny. Is like Ryan Reynolds says in his thing, he's like, oh, he's so good. It's like, it's fun just letting him go and listening to him. And then you listen to Tim Miller say it, and he goes, putting those two in the same room together, just turn the camera on and sit back.
Yeah, but, I imagine a lot of that came out of just, you know, goof sessions, really, back and forth, and then. But yeah, like I said, he was great. Like I said, Marina Baccarin is great.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I don't know who played Colossus, but you know, he was really good.
So, actually there's a pretty funny story on that. I don't remember the voice either, but do you know who they wanted to get to do the face? Cause it's different people. Like they have one guy as a stand-in.
Yeah. It's like Darth Vader.
Right. Know? And another guy does the voice, but to actually do the face, You'll never guess who they wanted to get, and it came down to scheduling. They couldn't get him.
Oh, really?
Gronkowski.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They just wanted his face
his
as face. Colossus, but they couldn't get it, and it just didn't work out. They said, and
that's
I was
funny.
Like, oh man, it's like that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody was great. Gina Carano was good. I have no complaints with anybody. I mean, I think they all did a great job.
Gina Carano didn't want to do the role because it was a bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Tim Miller was saying, like, because she's such, like, she, like Tim Miller says, she is a badass. In re- like, she's just,
oh, wow.
In real life, she's an MMA fighter. You can, you know, she's, she goes, he goes, but she's such a sweetheart. She's such a nice person. Like,
yeah, didn't want to play a.
And that's what he said. Miller. He goes, she's like, I don't know if I want to do this role because it's, and she actually called, Rob Liefeld says that she called them.
Oh, really?
And wanted to know about the character and if it was okay if I should play this character. And he was like, yes, definitely. You'll have a blast with it. It'll be a great character for you to play. And, you know, he gave it the thumbs up. So I don't know if she ended up doing it because of him. But, and you can see why it's funny listening to that and then knowing, like, Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And how she, now she is kind of playing a good character and everything.
Yeah, well, she hadn't done a lot. She did one movie before Deadpool where she was kind of a hero.
Right.
I can't even remember the name of the movie, but I remember seeing it. And this was really her big break when it came to films because, you know, it was definitely the most high-profile thing that she was in. And then, yeah, like you said, and even since then, she hasn't done a ton. Like, you know, it's been a while between this and The Mandalorian, and I don't think she's done a bunch of stuff in between.
Yeah, she was in Fast and the Furious 6.
Oh, well, see, I didn't see that, so.
Haywire, but.
Haywire, yeah. That's the one I was thinking of, right?
That's probably, yeah, the one you were thinking of. Michael Fassbender, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. I actually liked
that movie. Yeah, it was. Yeah, Steven Soderbergh. I liked it too, yeah.
But that was in 2011.
Right. Yeah, and that's, like I said, I think that was her first, or at least definitely the first thing I remember ever seeing her in.
Yeah, I think it was her first memorable role.
Yeah.
Brianna Hillenbrand.
Brianna.
Negasonic.
Oh, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah, Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Which, again, was not, I know that's a character from the comics, but it's not a character I had ever heard of before.
You know what's funny? Joe actually told me this when we were watching the movie. He looked it up. Here's a little fun fact. Fox had to swap with Marvel for the rights to her.
I heard that.
Do you know who they swapped?
I did, but I can't remember now. I can't remember. But I know I've heard this before.
Ego.
Ego, the living planet. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I did. I remember hearing that they had to swap. Because she wasn't tied to the X-Men license. Right? Because she was created after... I think she was created after that deal with Fox went through, so she wasn't tied to the Fox X-Men deal.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't know why didn't have it.
Ego is a Fantastic Four property, so I think Fox had Ego.
Right.
And Marvel wanted it, so I think that's how that all came about.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the exact reason why one had... Well, I imagine
like I said,
Fox
I'm imagining...
the rights, but I was like, why did they buy the rights to Ego? And I could see them swapping it, because what are they going to do with them?
Right, but like the Ego was tied to the Fantastic Four property, but I think she escaped because she was a character that was created after that deal.
Oh, okay.
You know, so that it wasn't sense. Done in perpetuity. Like, they didn't get the rights to every X-Men ever created.
I think
they only got what was... you know, on the books at the time of the deal. So, but yeah, that's funny that,
they swapped that out.
Cause again, the planning that goes into that, because they could have wrote the Deadpool movie with any other sidekick character.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And she wasn't that integral to the story. So it's just funny that
if she wasn't,
I think
in
that
there,
was probably more on the Marvel side trying to get Ego than it was them trying to get,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Because they could have wrote any other character into that.
Yeah,
because
I don't think anybody would have walked out going, where was Negasonic?
Right.
She should have been in there. You know, nobody would have noticed if she was missing.
Yeah.
But they did have to okay or negotiate with Marvel to change her powers because her powers were different in this.
Yes.
The scene where she explodes and shoots him up, I think they said she technically can't do that. Well, she can now.
Well, yeah,
because I guess they write it in.
But
oh yeah, another one going back to Ryan Reynolds. He actually was mentioned in the comics. That Ryan Reynolds' character was mentioned in the comics long before all of this.
Oh really?
Yeah, they wrote him in and said, there was a line in one of the comics where they said picture that, and it was like Ryan Reynolds and such get together, and that's who Deadpool is. They describe, oh, really? They use Ryan Reynolds to describe Deadpool in a Deadpool comic.
That's funny.
Yeah. But that was after they gave the information to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh,
and
okay.
So it was in like the late 90s, early 2000s that they had set. They were like, oh, we're going to, you know, write this in.
Maybe part of courting him into the role.
Oh, he was all in. They said he was all in from the beginning. He really wanted to do it. I don't think there was much of a courtship there from everything I heard.
No, probably not.
There was no trying to trick him. So let me ask you this. Is this the first movie to link the X-Men universe to the Marvel universe? Because we know now that when they made Iron Man, that they wanted them linked, because we have those outtakes of Sam Jackson at the post-credit scene where he talks about mutants and stuff. So we knew that
you
they
know
want
that. I don't watch the outtake, so I didn't know that.
Oh, but, okay. Well, there's an outtake where he talks about Spider-Man and the mutants. And right. I think he even mentioned.
Well, I'm trying to think, how does this link him?
Come on, John. The final battle scene takes place on the helicarrier. That's Marvel. That's, well, obviously Marvel, but that's Marvel Avengers, the whole helicarrier thing.
I never put that together. I didn't realize they were on a helicarrier at all.
Yeah, that's a decommissioned helicarrier that, or damaged or whatever. But
I didn't even know that. Because I'm trying to think, how are they even connected? I couldn't put it together.
Oh, the first time
so
I saw the movie.
Helicarrier. I didn't know. I never connected that. I didn't know quite what they were fighting on, but I never realized that it was a helicarrier.
So it
might be the first to link.
I think it
links definitely
X-Men.
Before.
Yeah.
It's definitely before Venom or any of that stuff. So yeah.
And then you have the other link, which is in the end credit scene when they do the whole Ferris Bueller, and he says, right. What did you think this was going to be, you know, Sam Jackson was going to come out with an eye patch and the leather getup. But yeah, that's a helicarrier, and when it tips, you could see that it's like an older helicarrier because it has the turbines.
Right.
They're out, and when it tips over after the explosion, you see them propped up in the air and then they break off. But they're there. It's a helicarrier. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look at that again. Because, I mean, not that I don't believe you, but I just didn't see that when I watched it. I didn't.
Yep.
Like I said, I didn't know what they were on. You know, it's like, but I don't always worry about what sets they're on. You know, I just figure they were on something that had to tip over. So
it's about the details, John. Yeah. You got to check this stuff out,
I guess.
But yeah, so in 16, I noticed it that in the theaters. I don't know if it was the first viewing or my second or third, but but I noticed it in the theaters, and I was like, oh, there. So I was thinking, wow, this links them to the Avengers.
Right.
And obviously it links the X-Men to the Avengers by, you know, the two. And it is considered, obviously, because it's with Fox, it is considered part of the X-Men series.
Yes. Well, that I knew. I mean, you even see a bunch of them in the sequel.
Yeah, once they get more of a budget.
Yeah. And which that's great too, you know, that he walks up to the mansion and makes that comment, you know.
Yeah.
It's almost like Fox couldn't afford to get another X-Men.
So when they first screened this movie with the president of the studio or whatever, Tim Miller was sitting right behind him.
Yeah.
And he said that the president, he was like waiting for that line to come up. President or whatever of the studio, the highest person in the room.
Right.
Burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Loved the line. Like, awesome. He was like, whew.
Yeah. He's a little nervous.
Yeah.
Is this going to hit the cutting room floor or what?
Yeah.
So.
And for Miller, that had to be a big deal. This is his first movie ever. This is his debut at directing. And talk about a debut. This is
I mean, not too many first-time directors that hit with something that big.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good hit for him. So, he had directed a video game. He came from the world of video games.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So he directed some high-profile video game titles, which, again, there's a lot that goes into those as well. I mean, a lot of money goes into, you know, the video game industry, but you know, there's obviously a different line between doing a feature film and a video game.
He was supposed to do Deadpool 2, but supposedly he had, I don't know.
I heard it was him and Reynolds.
Yeah.
That just didn't see eye to eye on what they were trying to do. So, yeah, you wonder what the behind the scenes are, but, you know, as successful as Deadpool was, there's no way they're siding with anybody against Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, exactly. Sequel, so. No, that's what I thought, which I think is weird. It's like, no offense, I love Deadpool, the movie. I think what, you know, Tim Miller did is great. But how do you get that cocky in the next one and be like, you have an argument with basically, like, as we said in the first part of the podcast, like, he is Deadpool.
Right.
And he's a producer of the movie.
Right, but you still have a vision, right? Like, I don't know if it's cocky necessarily. It's just, you see, I don't know. I mean, people see things differently. And, you know, I guess you wonder how much of a stand you want to take, you know, to go off of the movie. But it's just kind of like, you know, Patty Jenkins left Thor the Dark World, and, you know, different things happen. And, like, she wasn't a super high-profile director at that point either, but yet walked away from a huge Disney project. So, you know, sometimes I guess your principles take precedence over the profile. You know?
To me, it's like we state, you know, probably overstated. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. So
right.
It's the movie wasn't great because of Tim Miller. I'm not saying any director could have done it.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Right. It's like, it really is kind of the Brady and Belichick thing.
Right.
It's like, my thing has always been with Brady is what makes him so great is that he took the coaching from Belichick.
Right.
Okay. So what made Deadpool great was that they worked together, but it's Ryan Reynolds at the end of the day that,
right,
you know, carried this movie, and he is a producer. He is Ryan Reynolds is what pretty much got this movie made. And when you go into two, now you're bringing your creative ideas to the table. Do that with another movie.
Right.
You know, I just think,
we don't know. Like, we don't know what went on. We'll never know, really, because neither Tim Miller or Ryan Reynolds are going to tell us.
Right. It might not have been that at all. And that's just speculation.
Right. It might not have been. But that was the big rumor, though, is that it had to do with, you know, Tim Miller and Ryan Reynolds butting heads about something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, what sticks that much that you're willing to walk away from a project for? You know, because like I said, at the time, I don't know if people were beating down Tim Miller's door. Like, I don't know what he went on to direct next.
Terminator Dark Fate.
Yeah.
So, and, I don't think there was one in between.
Yeah, and from what I heard, he really butted heads with James Cameron on that
did
movie.
He?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He sounds like a great guy in the audio commentary.
I heard that there wasn't a lot of love lost between him and James Cameron either. Because I think for the same type of situation, because, you know, he's trying to bring his vision to something that's already been established by somebody else.
Exactly.
You know? But then again, like, who doesn't want to do that? Like, Rian Johnson brought his vision to Star Wars.
But
like,
nobody wants
to just be a sheep, you know?
No, but
my thing
also
would be then go make Knives Out. Don't go make Star Wars or Terminator or Deadpool.
Right.
If you want to have that much control over it.
See, I would say, I think you need credibility first. And credibility isn't your one-hit wonder.
Right.
You know, you make one movie, and now all of a sudden you're trying to tell, like, here's my vision for this.
Right.
And then you go from that to, then you, now that you're hearing the same rumors on Terminator Dark Fate, like, he had issues with Cameron on that. And it's like, now again, these are all rumors.
But again, just to play devil's advocate. Well, no, this comes from Tim Miller. Like, he went on record saying he had issues with James Cameron. Now, I don't know what happened on Deadpool, but I guess my thing is,
that's the wrong person to have issues with.
Just to play devil's advocate a little bit, though, is like, you're also hiring me to bring my vision. It's like, don't hire me to bring my vision to something and then stifle it, because I'm sure he didn't sign the contract to do Terminator Dark Fate by saying, I will agree to be a sheep and a lemming, and, you know what I mean? And do
right
everything exactly the way you want it. So I don't know what all the behind the scenes are, but, and I don't even know what the conflicts were about. I just know that, you know, it was said publicly that there was, you know, some animosity there between both of them. So,
yeah,
it might have even been James Cameron that said it, now that I'm thinking about it. So
yeah, I don't know. I just see, my thing with directors is like sometimes directors are just that. They're hired to direct the movie, and here's what I want you to do. Here's what I, you know, I wrote the movie. I want you to direct the movie. And then there's other times where the director actually does both.
Right.
That's where I think the director gets the credit for, okay, I wrote and directed, and it's my vision, and this is what I'm doing.
Well, right, like James Cameron. He wrote, directed. George Lucas wrote and directed. You know,
right. But when a director comes in and there are other writers involved, I think that's where the director is like, all right, I have a vision. Well, that's wrong.
Right.
It's like, this is, we're writing it this way. I don't care if you like it or not. We'll live or die with what our vision is. If you don't like it, we'll get a director that likes our vision.
But then again,
and
my argument,
that's what happens.
Again, my devil's advocate argument there is that anybody can direct. You can hire a monkey to direct it if all I'm doing is just putting exactly your page to the screen, you know.
But that's not true because, I mean, directing is like managing, and you have to manage the actors. You have to manage everything there. And there's a skill to that. There are good people to work for and bad people. So,
but, you know, again, if you listen to, like, I know you don't listen to a lot of Kevin. I listen to Kevin Smith, all his podcasts.
Yeah.
And he's done multiple episodes of the CW shows now. And he's credited as directing those shows. But if you listen to him talk about any of those experiences, he is just a director in name only. Because those shows go week after, like, there's a process in place and everybody knows their job. And he really is more a cheerleader than anything else. You know what I mean? He just says cut and start.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
Like, he's not directing anything, you know, because that machine goes week after week, and that's how they can just put a new director in the chair week after week, but you get the same product every time. Because they're not really directing anything. They're just showing up.
From our view. From our view.
Well, even from, he's the one that tells, I mean, from his view. You know?
Oh,
I mean,
really?
It's coming right out of his mouth. Yeah, he's like, I go to set, I bring everybody donuts, I, you know, tell them what a great job they did, and, you know, that's it. Like, he's just a big cheerleader on screen telling everybody how great they did. Because, like I said, it's a chair that gets filled by somebody different every week, but you don't notice any difference on the product that you get on screen week after week after week. It's all the same.
And that's a cast that works together week after week.
Right.
But a director on a movie is like, it really is kind of like an NFL football coach or something where you're dealing with all these different personalities. They're new to this film. They've been in the industry, but now I have to deal with your personality. You want this much screen time. This person wants this and blah, blah, blah. And that's
part of that's why I would argue that the director has to be more of a, have the vision there because the cast and all of them aren't as familiar. Like, they are executing his vision because they don't know what the performance should be. And so then when you want to say, I can't have my vision because, you know, because.
Well, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I just think we're kind of saying the same thing. But for me with it really only plays into what Tim Miller did here and not being in the sequel in that it's.
But okay.
The director needs to coincide with the writers.
Right.
And my question is, why couldn't he find a way to do that?
But you're saying it's because Tim Miller was a one-hit wonder. He didn't have the credibility, right?
Correct.
So if it was Steven Spielberg and he was butting heads with Ryan Reynolds on Deadpool and he leaves the film because of his vision, are you going to say, well, Steven Spielberg's a one-hit wonder? You know what I mean? Like, he has earned his respect. So
exactly,
would it be the same. Would you be saying the same thing though?
No, you just answered the question. You said he's not a one-hit wonder. So what I'm saying is
but who's right then? Is it Ryan Reynolds or is it Steven Spielberg?
I didn't say Tim Miller was wrong.
He's a one-hit wonder.
He
doesn't have the credibility to stand up and have a different vision than Ryan Reynolds.
Well, here's my thing. Steven Spielberg has credibility. Here's another way to look at it, and this is the way I'm looking at it. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. This entire movie was like Ryan Reynolds' baby.
Right.
Why would anybody have a different vision? Where are you going with it? Why would you? You know what I mean? Like, John, I have an idea for doing something, and then I bring you in, and we do it together, and you go, no, let's do it this way. Wait a minute. This is my idea. Why are you changing my idea?
But are you bringing me in to have an opinion, or are you just bringing me in to be your sheep?
Well, So
you know what I mean?
Let's go the other way. You have an idea and you bring me in.
Right.
And I give you my idea and you don't like it, but it's your idea. We're going to build something together and it's your idea. And I give you my idea to help along and you go, no, I have, this is my idea. This is the direction I want to go. I walk out. I would still help you, but I would respect your
challenge. But challenges make things better. Like, just because it's Ryan Reynolds' baby, like, is he a director? Like, Ryan Reynolds is, at the end of the day, just an actor. He didn't write it, and he's not direct. Like, not every idea he has is gold. Like, maybe it's just, I'm trying to elevate this project with you.
Right.
And we don't see eye to eye. So, John walks away, you know?
Everything we're saying is great. And that would be the normal part of the process. I find it odd that instead of arguing about it and them, you know, debating on the direction of Deadpool 2, that's all well and good. And that should happen. That's part of the artistic process.
Right.
I'm finding it hard to believe that the guy with only one movie under his belt walked away.
Maybe he didn't walk. Maybe Reynolds fired him.
We don't know, right?
Maybe he didn't.
You've got one movie
walk.
On. Right. Right. Maybe Ryan Reynolds was like, fine, you're done. I can't handle this. Why would you even push somebody that far? That baffles me. And to Tim Miller's credit, if you're that strong with your opinion on this, great. You have high morals, but I don't know where the foundation of whatever you were saying to Ryan Reynolds to either get you fired or you walk away. What foundation do you have on your vision?
But maybe
he's
just as big of a Deadpool fan. You know, maybe Tim Miller has been reading Deadpool since 1990 and loves the character too, and sees something different. Like, we don't know, and I don't know why we're arguing more than Ryan Reynolds and Tim Miller did. You know,
I don't know. I was just about to fire you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, maybe his vision. Maybe he was just as in love with the character had a different,
right?
You know.
And that's all well and good. I'm with you 100%. The argument should be there. They can discuss it and everything, but where they separated it, I find it odd because this is literally his crown jewel, Deadpool.
Right.
Because the next movie, he signed on for Sonic Hedgehog. I don't know if he actually was part of that or not.
I don't know.
But he was signed on to do that one. And he also, and obviously we know Dark Fate. I don't know. I'd have to look him up to see what else he's done. Those are the ones I knew.
Well, and the other thing with Tim Miller, and again, I don't know if this plays into it at all, but just because, like, Deadpool was the first movie he directed, but he's not a 20-year-old kid. Like, this guy's our age or more. So maybe he's just crotchety and stubborn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not a young kid that is going to be easily pushed around, you know, because he's a first time director. You know, maybe he's just, like I said, maybe he's just an old stubborn guy and, you know.
Yeah.
Look, you know.
Here's his feature films. He did Deadpool and he was a director and that was his directorial debut, right? This is all, I just looked him up on the Wikipedia.
Right.
2019, he did Terminator Dark Fate. He was a director and an executive producer.
Right.
Also creative consultant. Okay, so apparently he's a big Terminator fan.
Right.
2020, Sonic the Hedgehog. He was an executive producer.
But he didn't direct it.
Yeah, but, I mean, had he given his opinions and just was like, all right, well, you don't want to use them? That's fine. Let's just keep going. He'd also have Deadpool 2 under his belt. But now he has one movie, really, under his belt that was pretty big. Terminator Dark Fate kind of was a flop.
Right.
I enjoyed it. I love the Terminator series, but
I liked it too, but it didn't do well in the theater.
No, not, you know, $750 million like Deadpool. And like I said, I heard him in the commentary. I love his ideas. I love the way everything he was saying. He seems like a nice guy. And hey, to his credit, he's like, hey, that's my vision and you can't follow me. I'm not going to go with you, I would be like, eh, I don't know. I just found it weird. That's what this podcast is about.
I guess. We've talked more about this whole show is about arguing about Tim Miller now than more than anything else because we spent more time on it than anything. But
I think part of it is me personally, if somebody said, do you want to be in Deadpool? I'd be like, yes. I want to be a part of that. And
me too, because I'm as stubborn as the next guy, but I'm not going to walk away from a paycheck either. You know, it's like at the end of the day, I'd be like, hey, man, that's fine. You want to do it this way? You do it. You can't see me, but I have my hands up in the air.
We haven't even mentioned that. Maybe that was the creative differences. Yeah. Like, you need to get more creative with the zeros on that paycheck.
Right.
And they didn't want to pay. Like, he was demanding more money.
Because I'd be like, you know what? You're going to pay me at the end of the day? You know. Now, again, right. The success of one movie dictates where he gets his next job from. So maybe he didn't like the direction that Deadpool 2 was going and didn't think it was going to help his career. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. Because we don't know what the movie would have been. Well, I guess we do, right? Because we got what we got, but we don't know what it would have been with him. Maybe it would have done way better. You know, I don't know. But
judging by their argument and the fact that he had to leave, this is what it Deadpool 2 is what it would have been with him. Because
you're right.
Either way, he wins the he loses the argument.
Right.
So,
I'm with you. I wouldn't have. I would have just kept going. Be like, okay, fine. You know, I'm going to cash my check at the end of this and,
Well, and that's all my point. That's my whole point. So now that you said you're with me, we can move on.
Okay. That's just really all you wanted to get to. Well, all you had to do was bring the money part into it. And I was going to be on board. You could have ended that argument 20 minutes ago. Just by bringing the cash into it.
Yeah, I bring up money. Now I'm with you.
Yeah.
See, and you were wondering what we were going to talk about this movie.
I was.
And in true Brightside fashion, we have no idea where we're going when we start these things.
No. If you would have told me we were going to argue about Tim Miller walking off of Deadpool, I would have
Deadpool
said you're crazy.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah, or Deadpool 2.
It's not even the movie we're talking about. We started off with a bang. We didn't know where our brains were. And we ended right.
And so. Really, we still don't because
no. For all we know, there was no creative differences. kept us entertained for a little while. Hopefully, it kept everybody else entertained too. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I can't think of anything else to follow that. No, it's not that at all. But I just can't think of anything else to follow that whole diatribe. So.
Well, I was entertained, John.
Yeah. Well, me too. And really, that's all that matters.
Exactly. Let us know on Twitter. Were you entertained? You could tweet us at brightside_chat, or you could email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Let us know. Which way do you come down? Would you argue with Ryan Reynolds and walk away, or would you take the money and just shut up and do your job? Because John was all about arguing and walking away until I told him about money, and then he was like, oh, yeah, he gets paid for this. I'm in.
Yeah.
What do we got coming up this week? I don't know what I'll be talking about. Any new books coming out on Wednesday, John?
No. I don't know what we're talking about either.
We'll make something out of it.
Yeah.
And you're going to be joining me this week on home theater again. We're going to wrap up the box set.
This week as in... Oh, yes. I'm trying to think. What week are we in when this show airs? Yes, you're right. I will. I was trying to clear my real world schedule. it's like this week.
John, just say yes. I'm not going to lead you down the bad road.
I know. I'm sorry. Well,
exactly.
Yes.
I like how you're trying to clear your schedule from what?
Nothing.
John, what?
I just need to know if I needed to.
I got laundry to do.
Go watch another movie real quick or what?
Exactly. So. All right. I hope everybody's staying busy out there. I hope we're keeping everybody entertained because we're doing our best.
Yeah.
We'll be back when we're back. We'll see you then. Have a great time until then. I don't even know how to sign off anymore.
I know.
These are all blending together. That's why I started the morning ones with the day and date, just so I know. Where's this one go? All right. Take it easy, everybody.
Take care.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.